Good morning. You've tuned into the KRFY Morning Show. That is the morning show on KRFY. And I am Jack, and that is Jim. And it's a Thursday, September the 14th. Kind of a hazy one out there, Jim.
Well, when I was pedaling my bike this morning, listen, before we begin, Jack, I would like to give a shout out. Just to show you the marvels of technology that we are now streaming and we can be listened to anywhere in the world. I've got good friends in Genzano di Roma, a town about 30, 35 miles south of Rome, and they are streaming us. And I just want to give a shout out, a hello, a good morning there. It's 9 hours difference.
Okay, so it's this is the evening show or something.
This
or
is the evening show in Genzano di Roma. Okay. And I want to say hello to Eliana and Luigi, two very good friends. We visited them in March of this year. And then they've got two wonderful grandchildren, Julia and Ricardo. And I just want them to know, it makes me so happy to know that they're on the other side of the world listening to us here in Sandpoint, Idaho.
The marvels of the modern world.
Yay, technology cool. And online streaming. Yes, going back to the weather.
Yeah.
When I pedaled my bicycle this morning, I felt that there was smoke in the air. And good Lord, with the gusts of wind we're having, I'm not surprised that it's not only bringing it to us, but it's probably fanning the flames.
Yeah, we have a northeast wind, 14, 16 miles an hour today in the forecast. And if you have been outside, even though the forecast calls for mostly sunny, but it's certainly it's cloudy. There's something in the air, and I don't know how much of it is clouds and how much of it is smoke. The air quality index currently looks good in a little patch over North Idaho, but surrounding us is more of that moderate and unhealthy and unhealthy for sensitive groups air quality that we've been seeing for the last weeks.
A friend told me that on Labor Day last week that Sandpoint had the worst air quality index of any city in the continental United States.
That sounds about right. I may have mentioned this last week on the air, but we went out to breakfast and they closed the restaurant after we were the last table seated, and they said there's no clean air getting into the kitchen.
We have to shut it down. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you couldn't see the surrounding mountains. You know, I thought I was in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It looked the whole landscape was changed.
Absolutely.
Shall I? I'll give the continued forecast, which is for
because
much cooler.
I know it's getting better all
yeah.
the time.
It's mostly sunny, and then sunny weather continuing as long as sunny anyway. In the weather forecast, it's hard to predict what the smoke is going to do exactly. But sunny is the weather forecast, and mostly clear at night. But the temperature is dropping kind of precipitously here. We're looking at a high of 65 degrees today, 64 tomorrow, 66 on Saturday, and 67 on Sunday. I believe there's a marathon on Sunday, the Scenic Half Marathon, and that 67 degrees seems like it would be just right.
Ideal weather. Don't tell mm-hmm. all these low temps to my garden. I've got a bunch of green tomatoes that need to get robust and red. But I understand early part of next week, Jack, there's supposed to be little things falling from the sky.
According to the National Weather Service, we have rain in the forecast.
What's that four-letter word?
R-A-I-N.
Right.
Yeah. It has been so long since we had to
Find out when the last measurable precipitation? I don't. Yeah,
I'm sure I will. Give me a minute.
It's been a while ago.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's been weeks since we had any kind of rain, and it looks like there's an 80% chance of showers on Sunday night. Continuing rain
80%.
On Monday.
Whoa.
That's right. Yeah. And the same chance on Monday, for rain and a high near 58 degrees. Seems like that could be the beginning of, what we call fall or autumn.
Well, September 21st is around the corner, but, we have a guest with us in the studio here, and she's been waiting patiently. She's been here before, Brenda Hammond with the Urbana County Human Rights Task Force, and she is the secretary. Good morning, Brenda.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Have you been enjoying the smoky, hazy days?
Marginally.
Marginally. That's a wonderful way to put it. Later on in this hour, we're going to be joined by the president, Lynn Bridges, and we'll be talking about future events coming up and the present state of affairs with the task force. Brenda, you are now secretary. I know that you were a past president. Could you give some history behind the organization?
Well, our the task force was founded in 1992, and we were we came together as a group of concerned individuals in our community in response to encouragement and urging on the part of the Kootenai County Task Force for Human Relations. They had been dealing with the Aryan Nation's activities and violence in their own community for a number of years. And they knew that it was part of the Aryan Nation's agenda, of course, to take, well, I don't know how many people know this, most people, but it was part of their agenda. It called it the Northwest Imperative, that they were going to make the Northwest part of the United States a white Aryan homeland, and very serious about this. And so the Kootenai County Task Force knew that they were planning to expand up into our area, and they came and talked at the gym of what is the middle school. At that time, it was the high school, and the room was packed with people who were concerned. They were saying that we needed to organize, we needed to be ready for this, and we needed to be able to take a stand and let them know that their message was not welcome here.
Who were the speakers? Do you remember?
Father Bill Wasmuth was one of the speakers. He was the Catholic priest whose rectory was bombed by some of the members of the Aryan Nations. Mm-hmm. He was not hurt, fortunately, in that. But Tony Stewart, Marshall Mend, Norm Gissel are names that I recall, people that were on the stage. And it was a group of churches, basically, in Sandpoint here that brought them here and sponsored the meeting.
And the audience response, what was that like?
Well, it was interesting, and I know I've told this story before, perhaps not on the radio, but people that know me have heard it. I was up in the balcony. I was the director of a boys' school at that time, a residential school out in Sagal, and I had students with me and my daughter from the high school. And we were able to look down on Richard Butler and some of his followers who were seated there listening to this whole message.
Trying to intimidate, would you say?
Well, absolutely, because the microphone was passed around from time to time, and when it landed in Richard Butler's hand, it didn't seem like anyone was going to be able to remove it for quite a while. He took advantage of that opportunity to give their message. And I know the students that were with me were just aghast at the things that he was saying, and they said to me, "Why did they let him speak?" And I said, "Well, it's a great thing that he was allowed to speak, because, you know, what he said discredited his organization more than anything anyone else could say." But the thing that was dramatic to me in the balcony was the fact that several times the speakers on the stage were given a standing ovation by members of the audience, and it was very dramatic to look down and see that little group right below with their swastika armbands just sitting there with their arms folded while everyone else stood up and applauded.
Did anybody take any photographs of this event? Do you know?
You know, I don't know. Since then, we've had video made available by Chuck Smith, who's been on our board for a long time and has a really amazing archive of the activities of the task force from the beginning. But I don't know whether he was at that first meeting. I would be surprised if he weren't.
I don't want to dwell too long on the past, but you've described that first meeting, which does sound dramatic. What actions did you take now that you've come together? How were those first few years defined by?
Well, there were organizational meetings. I know that Buzz and Kate, his wife, were very active in that. There was a group of people that were actually the founding members of the task force, and so it involved writing bylaws and getting tax exempt status, making an actual organization, and then beginning to just be a presence in the community and let people know the goals of the task force. Part of them, one of the main goals, is to protect people who are victims of discrimination, and to educate the community, and to just let the community know. Provide an opportunity for people who share this belief to come together and be a strong defense for people who are victims of discrimination. So there was a lot of that kind of activity. I remember we called it the Neighbor Support Committee at that time.
Did you get any pushback as this organization took roots and began to be active? Did you get any pushback from Butler and the Aryan Nation?
You know, we didn't have any specifically from them. There were some other groups in the community at that time that kind of gave a lot of pushback to the task force. And interestingly enough, there were flyers not of the type that we've had recently in our community, but just a lot of misinformation that was distributed about the task force and that our attempts to take over to push a homosexual agenda. That was a big thing that was aimed at us, because we took an active stance against an initiative that was anti-gay. And we went from door to door and brought information to people and influenced the vote in our county here. So that was something that was used against us. However, we were able to come together with some of those people, which is one of an interesting highlight, I think, in part of our history. These people were writing letters to the editor. They were taking out ads. They had their own small publication that was printed up north, printing things about the task force that was actually not true. And we arranged, after a lot of soul searching within our own board, to meet together, two of us with three of them. And we arranged to meet on neutral ground. It was in Farman Park. And we sat on opposite sides of a picnic table. And we talked about the fact that although we will continue to disagree on many things, it was much more productive for us to speak to each other face to face, which the picnic table was perfect. I mean, we could not avoid just being face to face and looking in each other's eyes.
It was made of concrete too, so if there was any pounding of the fist.
Right. And we started out talking about, have you got your wood in for the winter? And, you know, what do you think about the school system? And came away with the understanding that our agreements in the future would be spoken about with each other and not aired in the press. If anyone had a disagreement or a problem with the other one, we would speak to each other personally. And we also knew when we came away from that meeting, if we drove by someone from their organization that was in the ditch, we'd do the North Idaho thing and we'd stop and pull them out.
When was this meeting?
Well, it was probably about three or four years after we were founded.
The organization was founded in response to a particular series of activity, I guess, and in one particular organization, the Aryan Nations and Richard Butler. How has the mission changed in the years since the founding, and as that group has gone away, more or less?
Well, I think the task force had to kind of reconnoiter and reform itself to realize that we had the opportunity to do other kinds of things, and that it was so important for us to be able to state what we were for and not just what we were against. And so we've had the opportunity to have educational activities. We've had the Art for Human Rights exhibits that we've done, encouraging the students in local schools to produce art based on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We've been able to focus on different parts of our mission and hope to create understanding in areas regarding gender, regarding economic inequality, and other mental illness, other kinds of things that cause people to be discriminated against and stigmatized within our community. So it's, in a sense, it's broadened our scope. So the recent flyers that have been proliferated in the community have kind of brought us back to our roots as an organization, kind of a deja vu thing that we thought perhaps we had passed and grown beyond.
We're talking to Brenda Hammond, the secretary of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. We'll be joined in a minute by Lynn Bridges, the current president of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. You just mentioned some flyers that that have gone out, and we can wait for Lynn to talk about that more if she's more the expert. But for those who aren't really aware, what can you kind of briefly explain what's been going on, where these flyers have been found, and kind of what their content is?
Well, they've been, I think they started around April, and the first ones of them had illustrations on them that were very like what we saw 20-some years ago, and talking about anti-Negroid a message, anti-Semitic, with crude kinds of images drawn. And then, yeah, here are some of them. Don't believe Jewish and liberal lies. Race is real. Keep Idaho safe. Jews are behind World War III. And then they have moved in the more recent times to actually targeting individual members of the community, including the mayor, who's pictured in a gas chamber. Several are the president of our task force, Lynn Bridges, who will be here in just a few minutes, was targeted on one of these posters. The leader of another small spiritual congregation in the community. And this is where I think this is what prompted us to take action and have a press conference and speak out against this, because while we accept the right of free speech, when individuals begin to be targeted and singled out and their personal information is given out on a poster, then it becomes a threat. And so we believe in fairness and equality. We believe in the rule of law. And this kind of individual targeting begins to move into something that can be illegal as well as threatening.
Yeah. But where were these flyers distributed? Do you know?
They've been distributed. They were initially in little plastic sleeves with little rocks in them that were thrown up on people's lawns. But they've been since then put under windshields and have been sent through the mail and through email to a number of places.
There's 9, 10, close to a dozen, whatever. And how long has this been going on? When did it start?
It seemed to start about April.
Yeah. Of this year. Where I just saw that Lynn has arrived.
Okay, Lynn just arrived, and what we'll do is we'll take a break, and then we'll have Lynn come on and have Brenda stay on and talk about the task force, where it is now and where it's heading. When you said 1992, Brenda, I go, this is the 25th anniversary of the task mm-hmm. force.
Well, yeah.
And it's sort of like when you said the recent spate of flyers and things like that, they've taken us back to our roots. It's almost like having gone full circle. Interesting, interesting. We're going to play a song. I selected Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, one of the classic songs from the late 60s into the early 70s. And the reason why I selected it, it has the line in it that for only love can conquer hate. Here on 88.5 KRFY, Jim and Jack on the Morning Show. Here's Marvin Gaye.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of the Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
Marvin Gaye, What's Going On? I tell you, that whole album is just incredible. I think Rolling Stone rated it one of the top five albums of the last 50 years. Just incredible album. You're here listening to The Morning Show with Jim and Jack, and we've been talking with Brenda Hammond, and Lynn Bridges is now with us. She is the president of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. Good morning, Brenda. And, oh, Brenda, that's right, Lynn, you're here.
Thank you for letting me join you.
Could you give us, Brenda has been talking about the history of the organization. Where's the organization right now, and what are some of the current focuses?
I think where the organization is right now is we're spiraling back around just a little bit, so to speak. With the recent flyers that have ended up in the community, we're finding that we're needing to strengthen some of our education efforts and outreach efforts so that people do feel safe in Sandpoint and the surrounding communities and that discrimination is not something that is going to rear its head again for us. So that's one of the focuses that we have. The other is just looking at the division within the community and how do we help limit that division and how can we help the community to grow back together, so to speak.
About a week ago, you were on the organization was on the cover of the Bonner County Daily Bee and had a big spread in the Reader about a press conference that you had held with a number of community leaders, which was mainly in response to these flyers. Can you tell us a little bit about that? It was on Wednesday the 6th, it looks like.
Yeah, we decided to do that press conference after a lot of deliberation. Yet, normally one of the things that we really hold steadfast to is that we talk about what it is that we're for and what it is that we are promoting. And talking against things is a little counter to what we really prefer to do. And yet, at the same time, with the proliferation of all the different flyers and the attacks on different people, we felt very strongly as a board that it was time to make a more public stance. So we reached out to the Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations for some advice because we had not done a press conference before, and they helped guide us quite nicely, I think.
Did you say human relations, or was that did you misspeak? Human Relations, is that that's their new title? They've changed
it's their old title, I think.
Or their old title. Oh.
Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations.
Not a phrase I'd heard before. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. On Human Relations. Well, that's cool. So you held a press conference. Who was present and what was the do you remember the list of names? Lynn's got
Let's
it.
See. Or Brenda's do you have the list of names? Oh, okay. So the people that were present, we had board members present, of course, and who spoke, myself and Brenda, Sharon McCain, Valerie Milleron, we all spoke as board members, and then Tony Stewart from the Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations. He spoke a little from the task force, but then he also read a message from Governor Butch Otter, which was very much appreciated. Senator Sean Kehoe was unable to attend, but she sent a statement, which I read. Shelby Rongstad, our mayor, of course, spoke. Kate McAllister for the Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce. Christy Wood, president of the Kootenai County Task Force on Human Relations. Norm Gissel, who's also a member of that task force. Bill Love spoke, representing the First Presbyterian Church. Colin Moody, the Cedar Hills Church. And then Paul Graves, who is a retired Methodist minister and the founder of the Elder Advocates. So we tried to have a varied group speak. Yes, we could have had even more people, but we also were conscious of the time and so forth. And so I'm not quite sure where we will go with other public speakings, but definitely we'll be taking a look at that as well.
I did notice I attended the press conference, and I forget the call letters of Station 6 in Spokane.
Q6.
And they taped it, and they put it up on their Facebook site. And I think by the end of the day, it had close to 20,000 hits.
Wow. It was
incredible. You had the press conference. Where do you go from here?
And that is the big question, isn't it?
Well, you've got a list of events coming up, which is a great way to draw focus on solidarity for human rights.
Well, I think we're looking for creative ways to engage the community in civil discourse. And this has been a goal for a while, actually kind of since the election, and that in a sense has polarized the community. One of the things that we've talked about is if we could in some way eliminate the labels that we use to categorize each other and just look at each other as human beings and engage as human beings, we would be leaps ahead. But how you do that is something that we're looking for guidance about. We have some ideas, which I'm sure Lynn will share with you, but we also are seeking guidance from the community. So if people have good ways or people that they think that we should talk to, that we should engage with, we want to expand our sphere of influence. And we believe that there are common American values that we all share that should be able to bring us together.
You're trying to expand the conversation and reach kind of across political lines, it sounds like, or some political
Definitely,
lines.
Definitely, yes. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I can say is you began the press conference with the statement that the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force is non-political. And I think that's important to address that.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things is really to go back to that table in Farman Park, so to speak, as I was driving in this morning and I was listening this morning. How do we sit across the table and have a coffee, have a lemonade, have a tea with someone that we might not necessarily sit down with? And how do we find our common values? Because I believe that we have more in common than not. For example, our love of family, our protection of our family, our love of country, our love of helping our neighbors. North Idaho, to me, is a very, I don't know if it's unique, but it is a very strong community in that if someone needs help, people come forward and they help. And I've seen that over and over again in my personal life, in my professional life. It's people are not going to leave people wanting. And I think that that's one of the strengths that we have as a community. So how do we build on that? How do we find what it is that we want? We all want to work. We all want to be able to take care of our families and so forth.
There's a YouTube that I video that I shared with several friends last week, and it was from Scandinavia, and it was a group of different people, maybe 15 to 20, and there were squares in this like airport hangar, and one was alt-left, one was alt-right, one was the different political parties, one was young, one was old, and what they did is they said that obviously we have differences and by the groups that they're in. And then it said, but let's see what we have in common. And then they had a circle in the center and they said, everyone who's left-handed, please come in the center. And people from the different groups, one or two from each group. And then how many of you like to dance? And that had lots of people in there. How many of you are step parents? And what it did was it got people together in ways that are not the ways that put you apart. Yeah. And I thought that was just brilliant. I was thinking about where could we do one here in Sandpoint? You know, get the different groups and show that what we have. And ultimately, what you were saying, Lynn, about love of North Idaho and the sense of community up here, and but there's other ways to see us. That was a conversation stopper.
Yeah. Excuse me.
But I was just picking up on
that. Yeah. No. Go ahead, Lynn. What were you going to say?
Well, then I think that's exactly it. We have. I truly believe that we all have more in common than not. And yes, we're going to have differences. And I think anytime you have two people in a room, you're going to be able to find disagreements. And that's human nature. And yet, if we can get beyond that and just accept that, yes, we have differences of opinion, we may have different political views, we may have lots of different ways that we look at the world differently, and yet we have that underlying common base. So, yes, that would be a fun exercise to do, actually.
You know what's, not to go back, not to step too far backwards here, but into opposition and not open communication. But what's different here about the new flyers that have been handed out and some of the, you know, actions that are going on is that it's kind of going on under the shroud of some anonymity. Unlike when the organization was founded, that Aryan Nations was very open about who they were and where they were and active in the community. How does it? I imagine that creates a challenge for you, and as a response, you don't have here's the individual or here's the specific group that we're addressing. You don't really know who. You probably don't know who wrote the flyers. I certainly don't. I don't think.
And I'm not so sure that that's as important as what the flyers are meant to do. And meant to create fear within the community, meant to create division within the community. And so one of the tactics with a group or an individual that uses flyers like that is really to get the community to do your work for you. And so you put that information out there hoping to create division. And if we allow that to happen, well, then their job is well done and it's easy for them, so to speak. And so the job of the task force, and Brenda, please jump in on this. The job of the task force to me is to help show that piece of it and to help show how can we come together and where can we come together as community.
And provide opportunities and ways in which mm-hmm. people can come together and take a stand and mm-hmm. say that this message is not welcome.
And mm-hmm. let's talk about some of the upcoming events about the community coming together.
Well, we have several, actually, some of them that are specific or sponsored by us specifically, and some that we are helping to promote. For example, the Sandpoint Community Resource Center is having a fundraiser, a September event at Farman Park. So Farman Park is a wonderful place to be. There's an Equinox for diversity. Oh, I didn't. Let me go back on the Community Resource Center. That's on the 21st. On the 20th.
A week from today.
A week from today. There's another opportunity that week on the 22nd for Equinox for Diversity, and it's several groups coming together again in Farman Park. It's a positive community event. It'll have music, it'll have drumming, it'll have speakers, and there's ways to access more information on that on the 23rd. So we have a busy week next week. On the 23rd, there is the high school, actually. Their Model United Nations group is putting on a fundraiser event. So there's an opportunity to see some international work and costumes and food and help support the high school students in participating in that in New York. So they are needing that help with that one. And they're looking for volunteers for the organization itself. And then at the end of the month, on the 30th, there is 100,000 Poets for Change, sponsored by Lost Horse Press and the Task Force. This is an annual event. I really enjoy it. It is a time for people to do readings, to share music about all kinds of different human rights events. And the theme this year is We Stand Together Against Hate. And so there's information for that.
And the task force has a website, doesn't it? And what is the website URL?
Oh, now you see, I always just click on it. So
it's like, what's your phone number?
I know. You're asking me hard questions now.
It's bchrtf.org, Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. .org,
PC. And one can Google the task force name, and because I did check it earlier this morning, and all of more detailed information about the different events. Starting off with next Thursday, hopefully I'm going to try to get in touch with the Resource Center and see if we can have some folks come on about Soup-tember. And then also I think at the Panada on Thursday night, the 21st, is Seeds for Peace, a wonderful movie that supports the theme of the weekend. Can you talk a little bit more about the Equinox for Diversity in Farm and Park from 5 to 7 on the 22nd? That would be Friday. What will go on there?
Well, what they have, it's another group that is organizing this, and so we are helping to sponsor this and get the word out. There will be some music. There will be speakers there. They don't know if there's going to be food there. They were trying to get that arranged because it is the dinner hour, but they are still working on that one. And it's basically, it's a time for people to come together from lots of different viewpoints, lots of different beliefs, and just to come together as a Sandpoint community and making a statement saying that everyone belongs and everyone is welcome.
And if one were interested in becoming a member of the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force, how does one go about doing that?
Well, one could go to our website and they could fill out an online application. And then there's a $1 lifetime fee that goes with that application.
How did one come up with that?
I don't know.
Back in the early days, we did not want to make a membership be exclusive or a membership fee to make it prohibitive for anyone. So,
and a dollar back in those days went farther than it.
Well, it wasn't that far back, but yeah, it's just symbolic. It's kind of like in order to something make a contract legal, you have to have at least a minimum dollar to put down. So
we're here with Brenda Hammond and Lynn Bridges from the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force. This is Jim and Jack on the morning show at 88.5 KRFY. I'd like to ask Brenda, you've been with the organization since the get-go, and what's a 25th anniversary? Is it no diamond? Is what's oh. What's 25 years? Golden?
No, 50 is golden.
I it's think not it is, silver, I is think, it? No. It's, who knows?
It's paper money. It's a dollar.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask you, Brenda, you know, that you've been with the organization since the get-go. 25 years later, what are your thoughts on the issues that you're facing in the organization? Is it a need now more than ever?
I think so. I think that at one point we felt that our usefulness in the community maybe was diminishing, and definitely we see that the need for our organization is increasing at this time. And the primary focus, as Lynn mentioned, we want to live in a community, all of us, where we feel safe, where we feel respected, where we feel that the sky's the limit for us. No one should be diminished by their membership in any kind of marginalized group. We're just all here together and rejoicing in being part of this beautiful landscape and this remarkable giving community.
I think Lynn's comment is absolutely brilliant about the flyers, about, oh, who put them out? Who did it? No, focus on the purpose of the flyer. It's to isolate. It's mm-hmm. to remind a person that you're vulnerable. By naming people on the flyers, that's to make them think twice. It's a divisive action. And I think the upcoming events all speak of community, bringing people together. Strength is in numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I agree. Yeah, and it's... I think there's been a little bit of, I'm trying to find the right words. There's been a little bit of time, I think, in between the Aryans and now, where the community could sit back a little bit more and they could relax with that a little bit more. And I think, as Brenda was making reference to, the time is now to go on ahead and to come forward and to show a more cohesive community.
The time is now, and we've got that list of events coming up again. It includes the 100,000 Poets for Change. Next week is the Equinox for Equality on the 22nd, which is Friday. The day before that is the Souptember event, which we may be... We'll probably be talking a little bit more about at least one of those next week.
Absolutely.
On this space here on the KRFY Morning Show with Jim and Jack.
And one can go to the website for the task force to find out more information about these events, as well as Sandpoint Online will have. And I'm quite sure that the newspapers, I noticed in, I think, yesterday's newspaper was a big half-page ad about soup. September, which I think is a great event, and it'll be. I just hope that, as much as I want the rain, I hope that it will hold off 5 to 7 next Thursday, because I'm going to be out there. And I guess Dish is the defending champion of their soup. That's what the ad said, and so there's all sorts of people out there clicking ladles back and forth. So that's all coming up. Anything in conclusion, Brenda, Lynn, we want to thank you for taking time out of your busy days that you'd like to say about the task force.
I think one of the things that I would say is, if people are looking for active ways to go on ahead and to be active, or what is it that they can do from the grassroots level, they can show support for human rights by displaying either the poster that the Human Rights Task Force has, the 7B for Human Rights, or look also for the ad that's going to be coming out. They can write letters to legislative representatives voicing concerns on discrimination issues. They can show up at events and support human rights in that way, share ideas for educational programs with a task force member. And speak up when you hear hate speech. Call it what it is. And be involved, not only in your community, but also in the task force. So please share your ideas and your energy.
This has been a great conversation, you guys. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for your hard work, not only individually, but the organization's work the past 25 years to help make North Idaho a livable community for all of us. Can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
And by the way, I do want to send out, I mean, there might be people out there who might be listening who say, well, what about the other side of that sort of thing? I'd be more than happy. I don't know about you, Jack, but I'd be more than happy to invite the people who put out the flyers, the hate flyers, to share their views with us, since we try to be as fair as we can. We've heard from one side. We'd love to hear from the other side. Feel free to let us know. Contact the radio station, and we'll see what we can have a conversation about.
Indeed.
We'll see if anybody picks up on that.
Throw down the gauntlet.
Yeah, we'll see. It seems like you guys are, anyway, at the sort of the beginning stage of something, establishing this conversation. And now with a few of these upcoming events, and I'm sure more to come it'll be interesting to see. You're talking about establishing these conversations across political lines. Interesting to see how that goes and who's receptive on the other side of it. And, well, right now, I don't suppose you can speak to that, but in the future, you'll have to join us and tell us how it's going.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay. We'll have to share.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a music break on this date in 1814. Okay, on this date in 1814, Francis Scott Key wrote the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner. And I thought it'd be appropriate to play a non-lyrical version of it that we're all familiar with. Jimi Hendrix from Woodstock, his version of the Star Spangled Banner here on 88.5 KRFY. On this date in 1814, he wrote the lyrics, Francis Scott Key. And by the way, the song became the U.S. National Anthem in 1931.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
On this date in 1814, on September 14, 1814, Francis Scott Key wrote the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner as he watched the bombardment of Fort McHenry by British ships in the Battle of Baltimore in the War of 1812. And we did a version of Jimi Hendrix, an iconic version, the deconstruction of the Star Spangled Banner on the last day of Woodstock, the last performer at Woodstock. In 1969. So
you mentioned, I think it was off the air, that you mentioned that he was not scheduled to be the last performer.
No, the word was that they had invited the organizers, Roy Rogers, to come on and sing Happy Trails to You Till We Meet Again. But I don't think Roy was available or would wanted to have been there. And so, but the interesting thing about this version of the Star Spangled Banner, it was in the center of an hour-long sort of jam session where he did Voodoo Child and I think Hey Joe. But because if one has seen the movie, right after this, he goes into that incredible guitar riff on Purple Haze. And so this was just a snippet, a 3 minute and 43 minute. But he had done this many times before. It's not that he just flashed on it in a moment of creativity. He had done this before in other concerts.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought perhaps he'd been asked to do it or something like that. Of course, that was before my time. Hey, I have a few things I'd like to clean up here, Jim. The 25th anniversary is the silver wedding anniversary anyway. There's a list here. Did you know that the 5th anniversary is the wood anniversary?
And paper money is acceptable because isn't paper from wood?
I suppose it would be, yeah. The 10th anniversary is the tin anniversary. The 15th, tin. I know. So this is, I guess you're supposed to be giving a gift made of, to give canned goods or something like that on the 10th anniversary. The 15th is the crystal anniversary. The 20th is the China anniversary. The 25th is silver. 30th is the pearl. 40th is ruby. 50th is the golden anniversary.
As Lynn said,
60th is diamond. And the 70th is platinum, if you can make it to 70.
Platinum.
There's a reward
and
waiting.
80th
for you.
Is plutonium.
I suppose. Yeah, it'll keep going after that. And what was the one other thing you had asked about the rain history?
Yes. When's the last time we had measurable precipitation?
The only thing I can tell you, I wish I knew precisely the date, but I can tell you that looking at the last 30 days in our area, have had less than a tenth of an inch of observable rain.
You're kidding me.
In the North Idaho area, at least according to the National Weather Service. Yeah.
Well, let's pray for rain. Let's pray for rain. In between now and rain, tomorrow night, The 15th, the Ides of September, the Led Zeppelin Experience is going to take place at the Panada Theater. For more than 15 years, the Led Zeppelin Experience has been pounding the hammer of the gods, the guitar, to Led Zeppelin fans both nationally and internationally. Authentic live concert reproduction goes far beyond any group of musicians covering the same tunes you've heard on the radio for over the four decades. This begins at 8 o'clock at the Panada Theater, 300 North First Avenue. Call panada.org for more information. Not call Panada, but go on your website or call 208-255-7801. That is Friday night, the 15th, the Led Zeppelin Experience. What a band.
Indeed. Well, there's plenty more to talk about. We're almost out of time. A couple things I want to mention. You know, this is the first time I've said that it's American Sign Language Practice on the 15th, which is tomorrow at the Sandpoint Library, 9:30 a.m. Come learn silent signing practice. It's free and open to everyone. Some signing experience is suggested, but perhaps you can meet a friend there who can introduce you.
I stand in awe of signers because with the recent events in southern Florida, whenever the governor spoke or the mayor of the city, off to the right or the left was a signer.
Yeah.
And I would watch the signer, not the governor. I mean, I just found it absolutely fantastic. And what a skill to have.
It's fascinating to watch. You're right. Especially if you don't understand it, you say, I don't know. Well, I hope they're not making it up. Sandpoint Farmers Market continues 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in Farman Park. That's on Saturday. There's a Sandpoint Original Music Showcase from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. All invited to enjoy a day of all local talent playing original music. Now, this is interesting. At McDuff's Beer Hall at 220 Cedar Street. Ages 21 and older are only welcome at the Beer Hall. That's a day of all local music from 4 to 9. You were going to say, Jim?
I was going to say, we're running out of time. I don't want to. I'm going to do some shameless promotion tonight at 9 o'clock, KRFY Folk Music Show. I'm going to do Family Relations, and I'm going to open with a Steve Goodman song called I Am My Own Grandpa. And it's a song about, have you heard it?
I know I've heard that song somewhere.
It's a song where he marries a widow. He's in his early 20s. He marries a widow and his father marries her daughter. And so therefore his father has just become his son-in-law, and he takes off from there riffing if they have children, what they are.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So that'll kick off Family Relations tonight at 9 o'clock.
The American Heritage Wildlife Foundation Incorporated presents the second annual comedy show and silent auction on Saturday the 16th at the Sandpoint Center Columbia Bank Building, 414 Church Street. We are fresh out of time here, Jim. There's many more events going on. You'll have to go to sandpointonline.com. I do want to mention once more, I mentioned it earlier, the Scenic Half Marathon is presented by the Chamber of Commerce. It's the 9th annual Scenic Half Marathon. I will not be running in it, but I will be.
Neither will I.
Probably watching it. I used to be able to look right out my window and see it. Now I moved. I'll have to walk a few blocks.
Have them change the route.
That's what I should do. You're right.
Why should you move?
The route. That's interesting. The route. There's some road construction going on along the route
right
now.
North First Avenue, correct?
That's correct. Well, we could talk all day about all sorts of things, but we got to go.
We've got Bird Note coming up, and we're going to play right after that a song by the Beatles called Getting Better. On this date in 1995, the handwritten lyrics by Paul McCartney sold for $250,000 in 1995. So we'll play Getting Better right after Bird Note.
Thanks for listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.